This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Committed to helping animals in need, KL Pooch Resort and Rescue has been doing just that since 2011. But as is often the case, keeping an organization like this running requires fundraising. Joining me now to tell me more about the work that KL Pooch Resort and Rescue does and their upcoming fundraiser event is Shannon Lum, the founder of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue. There's a lot of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue there. How are you, Shannon?
I'm good, Juliet. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. So, I mean, let's just get back right to the start. You know, how did KL Pooch Rescue, I think it was called Rescue at the start when you first started out?
Yes, our official name when we first started was KL Pooch Rescue because we started out as a home care. From my own house. It was a terrace house where we kept up to 20 animals at one time.
I can just imagine the neighbours.
Well, we had to continually bribe the neighbours with treats and Tim Tams and fancy chocolates. And they bore with us as much as they could. But that's why we named it KL Pooch Rescue. And it didn't become a resort until we found our own property and decided that in order to be a self-sustaining venture and not rely on public donations or public funds, we would have to come up with a regular source of income, and that would be boarding. We already look after animals for free, for the love of it and from, you know, the heart. So why not make an income from it at the same time?
Exactly. And, you know, I can tell you as a pet owner, the one thing that always keeps me from going for holidays is my dogs. Finding a nice place to put them, you know, to somewhere that I trust. And, you know, where also they're badly behaved, but that's another
right.
What actually got you started in this line of, you know, rescuing, rehoming, looking after animals?
I've been an animal lover since I was young. I was brought up in Malaysia and my parents always had stray dogs come in and out and they would feed them. Of course, back then, there was very little education on spaying and neutering. So it was just feeding and looking after the wounds that they'd come back with sometimes. But there was no real control over the breeding back then.
Yeah.
And then when we moved to Australia, I begged them for years and years to let me get a dog. But because we had to leave so many dogs behind when we moved, they were very reluctant because it's a heartbreaking process.
It is, yeah.
So I wrote them letters and, you know, circled dog ads in the newspapers so they'd read them as soon as they got up in the morning on the weekend papers. Yeah, I'm pretty persistent.
Inception.
And finally, they agreed to let me have a dog. And that was, you know, that was it ever since.
Okay, okay. And, you know, what is the common misconception about the work that you currently do, if at all?
The misconception about the work that we do, I feel like because we have the word rescue in our name, people feel that rescue is something you graduate from, like a degree. So people think that, you know, it's like being a doctor. You have all these qualifications that you studied, and then you graduate with a certificate in doctoring or rescuing. And that becomes your profession from which you, you know, sustain yourself, you have an income, and you were essentially taught to do, so you have an obligation to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas anyone involved in the rescue industry understands that we're just ordinary people that decided to teach ourselves how to do extraordinary things. And that's not talking myself out or bigging up the rescue. It's certainly not a glamorous occupation, but it's just understanding that everyone can do something extraordinary. So being in rescue doesn't mean we have endless capacity to keep on picking up dogs or we have a skill set that is superhuman. It's just that every one of us have made the decision to sacrifice a little bit of an ordinary life in order to do something that we think is worth our commitment and dedication.
I think also people just assume that as soon as they call you, you have to drop everything and go and rescue some poor stray that is wounded and dying on a road.
Sure. And that comes back to the assumption that we do have endless resources and endless space because we have the word rescue in our name.
Yeah.
And that's just not true.
Yeah.
So when people call us and ask, how come we can't take what just one more? Well, I could ask them the same question. How come you can't take just one more? Because we all have limitations and we all have resources.
So how do you sort of manage that? You know, like I'm sure people come and just dump dogs with you quietly outside your gates and things like that. How do you manage all of that?
Yeah, well, just last week, someone dumped a mother and 9 pups outside our gate.
Oh, dear.
And the last time we took pups in without screening them or anything because we, at the moment, we're in the process of moving to a new property, so we don't have a proper quarantine area. Those pups that we took in, just that people left, ended up having parvo. And then one of our other dogs died.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So so it's not an ideal situation. So all that we do now if people leave dogs with us is we try and manage it by feeding those dogs in a confined area outside. And we try and keep them as safe as we can until we've got them passed for any illnesses and then can get them adopted out.
Okay. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, people need to understand that puppies just can't come in and, you know, we don't know their history, right? You don't know what they could pass to the other dogs and things like that. So there's, you're not just a dumping ground for poor little.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you feel, you know, there's a bias towards mixed breeds and mongrels in Malaysia?
I think there's a bias, towards purity of anything, whether it be humans or animals. Funny enough, you know, people's prejudices can spread very widely. And I think the mentality in Malaysia is changing for the better. And it's just more about educating people that dogs are not a status symbol. Mm-hmm. They're not a handbag. And also, they're not meant to be a burglar alarm. They're supposed to be part of the family. And while a beautiful dog or a big dog can also be an accessory and can make you look good or can guard your home, if that's your primary sole purpose for getting a living animal, then you should probably, you know, think about it and maybe go get yourself an alarm.
Do you ever, do you have any sort of like screening process for potential pet adopters or dog adopters at your place?
Yes. Yeah, so the initial meeting will be at our centre. Mm-hmm. And we interview, the family there and then. And then if they find a dog that they feel is suitable, we take the dog to their home and we personally do a house check. So we make sure that they don't want the dog, for any suspicious purposes.
Yeah.
Obviously, all our dogs are neutered before they go. So, you know, they're not going to be used for breeding or anything. But also we want to make sure that the environment is secure and that the family is going to take in that dog as a part of their, their existing family.
Mm-hmm. So that's quite a stringent process, I would say.
Yes, yeah. Because it's no point for us to save an animal just to give it to any random who may treat it worse than what we, where we found the animal in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, you mentioned just now that you're moving and I think last year you were you had to move from your premises in Shiraz and you're headed towards Kuala Kubu Baru. How's that going along?
Look, the place in Kuala Kubu Baru is just gorgeous. Like we're on top of a hill. At the moment, we're in a valley in Shiraz, surrounded by wasteland. Well, that's not to say that you shouldn't visit because inside our resort is absolutely wonderful and we love every animal there, which is the reason why our boarding is so popular, I believe. But, you know, Kuala Kubu Baru is a completely different environment. We're surrounded by plantations. We're on top of a hill and we're the highest point, for miles and miles. So you can see, all around you 360. We now have over 130 dogs residing there because we're half complete. So a lot of our rescued animals have been moved there and they're so happy.
I can imagine.
Yeah, they've got much bigger spaces to run. The air's fresher. Our workers are happier and that makes, for a great environment.
And speaking of your staff, do you have a lot of full-time staff with you or are you mostly, dependent on volunteers? How does the whole thing run?
Myself and my partner, Mari, we manage it 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. We have three staff in Shiraz that are there 24/7 to look after the dogs in Shiraz, and that's mainly boarding dogs now. Mm-hmm. And we have another three staff allocated to our new place in Kuala Kubu Baru.
Okay, so maybe you can tell me a bit about the boarding services that you offer because that's something that's a business model that you came up to sustain yourselves.
Yes.
So how does that work?
With the boarding, we noticed that a lot of pet hotels here, they call themselves hotels, but really they're cage yards where the cages are stacked one on top of the other or, the dogs are confined all the time. Their feet suffer from being kept on wire floors as well or not properly cemented floors. Also, there's very little attention paid to each individual animal. So we really wanted to change that when we opened the boarding. We feel that owners deserve the right to know that their pets are secure and happy. And like you mentioned before, they can go away on a holiday and have peace of mind because they don't feel guilty about leaving their pets behind. So with our boarding facilities, the minimum space that one single dog has is 5 by 6 foot. Mm-hmm. Very generous.
Very
and
generous,
then the bigger pens are 10 by 10 foot. And in our new property in KKB, they'll be double that.
Lovely.
Yeah, so even more room. Our dogs get run twice a day. They get fed homemade raw food. We make it ourselves so we know exactly what goes into it. And also we offer premium services like swimming lessons and gym lessons too.
Swimming lessons, how lovely.
Yeah, it's the best part of my day, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I've seen photos of you, with the little four-legged fellas running swimming around quite happily.
Sometimes even three-legged.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking about, there's just so many strays in Malaysia, and I've come across people who say that, spaying or neutering a pet is unnatural, and what would your response be to that?
when you domesticate an animal, that already goes beyond the laws of nature. And when people say to me, it's unnatural to neuter my dog, well, I would say to them, do you have air conditioning in your home? When you traveled here today, did you walk or did you drive a car? What is it that you've got in your pocket? Looks like a mobile phone. So these are all things that we do that are outside our natural environment. We already live in a world where we have to control certain aspects to make the world we live in livable, mm-hmm. right? So when you have a domesticated dog, and particularly the case for male dogs, I know a lot of people are reluctant to neuter male dogs for some reason. It's for the health and the security and the stability of that dog. When you take a dog that's supposed to mate several times a year and you restrict their movement and their freedom and you do not allow them to mate, which you really shouldn't because there are already so many unwanted litters around, mm-hmm. then that male dog becomes very aggressive on occasion and very excitable, which can then lead to aggression, and they become very frustrated. So all this anger builds up in them and this frustration, and it really changes their character. So people think that when you neuter a dog, you take something away from their personality, but it actually allows the dog to be calmer mm-hmm. and reveal the personality that is within. So before we take on any dogs, like a lot of owners will ask us, you know, will you be able to handle this dog? Or are you able to perhaps train or socialize my male dog? We always say neuter the dog first. If you don't, we can't work with that dog because we're fighting against genetics and biology.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, talking about, you know, it being unnatural, not letting them mate, like you said, that is unnatural as well.
Absolutely.
You know, so these are the things that need to be considered. Yes. People just don't seem to think
I
about
agree,
that.
Julia.
All right. So, you know, part of your plans of keeping self-sustainable, I mean, that's the main plan, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you are also having a fundraising event this weekend. Maybe
yes.
you could tell us about that.
Definitely. So our fundraiser is a mixed martial arts workshop. We're really excited about it because we've managed to acquire a huge star from the Ultimate Fighting Championship. She's the baddest woman on the planet, the most feared lady. And her name is Chris Cyborg Justino. She hails from the country of Brazil. And she's going to be accompanied by three international trainers from the US. So Chris is going to be here teaching people self-defense. So beginners are absolutely welcome, even if you've never had any experience in martial arts before, but you enjoy learning new things and you want to help us raise money with a fun experience, come along. She's going to be going through some striking groundwork. And particularly for women, this is very important. If you ever get approached by a stranger in a car park, or if you're ever in a situation that you feel unsafe in, and which woman hasn't, to be honest with you,
yeah.
if you want to walk around with a bit more confidence, why not learn from the baddest woman alive, you know? And for people that are a little bit obviously more experienced, or even the professional fighters, Chris has a pedigree that's extremely strong in MMA. She's undefeated for the past 12 years.
Wow.
And there's two of her male trainers with her, and both of them have won championship belts at various points throughout their careers. And Mari, who is my partner and also helps run KL Pooch, is a qualified yoga instructor, and she'll be holding a yoga session at the end of that workshop. So it's a full day from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. At TNT Kickboxing in Desa Sri Hartamas this Sunday. Please book by texting 016-233-3647. Yeah. So the basic workshop is $350 for the full day. Then we've got a VIP package, which is just $450. And with the VIP package, we include a healthy lunch and drink. You also get a souvenir show bag with an autographed Chris photo.
Mm-hmm.
You get a T-shirt with Chris Cyborg on it. You receive hand wraps custom made with Chris Cyborg's signature and the KLPR logo. And some KLPR merchandise in there too. So all that is only $450. And if you don't want to train for whatever reason, if you're suffering from some injury or you just think that you want to come and watch or meet Chris, we have a show bag package where you can come and just get the souvenirs and have a photo with Chris, and that goes from one to two.
Okay.
And we want to say that anyone that also prepays by tomorrow, which is Friday, okay, we'll give you $50 off the workshop fee.
Excellent.
So okay. call today.
All right. Excellent. And can you just tell us that number again?
016-233 3647.
Okay, and proceeds are going to go to the KL Push.
100% of proceeds will go towards raising funds for our new organization, okay. our new shelter.
So win-win situation all around. Thank you so much, Shannon, for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Do you also accept, I suppose, donations from the public? Is that still something that you guys do?
Yes, we'd love donations. Absolutely. Our goal is to be a fully self-sustainable organization, but we haven't hit that yet.
Okay. And do you also accept volunteers? Is there a process for that as well?
Yes, please. Text the same number if you're interested in volunteering. We have one volunteer day a month, which is a dog washing day.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Thanks again, Shannon.
Cheers.
I've been speaking to Shannon Lam. She's the founder of KL Pooch Resort and Rescue. And we were talking about the work that they do and the fundraiser that they're having this Sunday. So, you know, you can visit KL Pooch Resort and Rescue.org for more information. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.